John, this next principle is going to teach us to think right. It's the self-government principle of proper thinking, Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh, so he is in his heart.
That's true, and I'm still working on that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like that's a life process, mm-hmm. but I'm learning more and more as you get a little older the importance of thinking. You know, when you're young, you know, sometimes you don't think because you're strong enough just to react. But anymore, it's more and more important as to how we think because it is our future.
Let's visit the principle. As a man thinketh, well, that means the processing of our thoughts. Our mind is an amazing gift from God, and no one fully understands it. But we do know two things it does. The first thing is that it reasons, and the second is it imagines. Reasoning is more like calculating, which leads us to concepts, opinions, or considerations, while imagination leads us to ideas or possibilities. Although they both work within our mind, which is like a processor, most of us operate more predominantly in one of the two. While we may be reasoning well with full logic and common sense, we may be weak in creative possibility thinking. This might be because of a bad experience or failure. So our past can plague us, huh?
Very much so, because, you know, sometimes our imagination and stuff like that, but by a bad experience, because we had maybe imagination or a dream of some kind, and we tried to put it out and go out, and we had a bad experience with a person or a bad experience with business, mm-hmm. and then it shuts it off and it controls, and we'll say, I'll never do that again, which that's not right. That's not what the processor is about. We just made a dumb mistake. That's what we did. But you're not supposed to shut off that which God gave you as a design, because that is your future, and that is the best part of you. So the reasoning part of it, of course, is calculating and concepts and opinions. We'll always have some of that, but bad experiences can stop the mind from functioning well, and people hibernate sometimes and just destroy themselves.
Others are more like dreamers. They are never satisfied with things as they are. This is good if we're part of a team, but may be dangerous if we function as an individual. Because we can get focused on what can be, we forget to practice common sense and sound reasoning in the now. So as the proverb above says, as a man thinks, so is he, which means we must determine our future by being aware of our thinking. What we think about today is what we will become tomorrow.
That's really true, because we're like walking out something in our mind first, because we walk according to our mind. So if we think a certain direction, we'll walk that way. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But it's very, very critical to understand that, because the mind is the value of a person. That is what you're born with. The body that people have is not the value. The body is only valuable based upon the mind. Hmm. Now, if a person is retarded or if something, it affects the mind, then it destroys the body as well. So if the mind is clear, usually the body is good, unless you were in an accident or something like that. But the key is the value is in the mind, and we have to watch that we don't stifle that or we don't destroy that, because if we do, we can take that same mind, Bernie, we can take that same mind, and that is creative and positive, and we can take that and we can choose to do right or wrong. We can choose to be good or bad. We can choose to do evil or good. The mind is not good or bad. I mean, it just helps make decisions, and then we respond to that. And so we got to understand that. Once we understand that, then proper thinking, we will see the value of proper thinking, because that is what we'll become.
This next section, John, is just profound to me. Thoughts always precede actions. A person is really what he thinks about, not always what he does. Our courts judge us by what we have done, but God knows that we will eventually do what we think, so he warns us in advance to be careful of our thought. The law says, thou shalt not commit adultery, but Jesus said this, if we look on a woman and lust after her, we have already committed adultery in our heart. God wants to protect us from committing the act by convicting us while it is still in our thought stage.
Oh, that's powerful. And nobody will understand Christianity right until you understand that concept. You know, a lot of people say, well, we're not living under the law. Oh, yes, you are. Maybe not under the sacrificial law, but you are living under the moral law, and God holds us accountable for being moral. And the thought is that God is protecting that. God is protecting the law, because the courts cannot judge us until we commit the act. That's why Jesus' teaching were so powerful, because he wanted to protect the law, mm-hmm. and never get you to the act of committing it. Mm-hmm. He wanted to make you feel guilty, before you got there, so you won't do it. So you can measure yourself saying, you know what, if I understand I'm going to be what become what I'm thinking about, if I'm thinking about rape, or if I'm thinking about killing somebody, hating somebody, if I'm thinking about that, I will eventually do it. So now you feel guilty and saying, like, no, I don't want to do that. So it protects the law of God, and that's the teaching of Jesus.
The law also says, thou shalt not kill, but Jesus said, do not hate. Again, he knew that hatred leads to killing. The point is this, we should be aware of our thoughts because they will grow and eventually become actions.
Absolutely. I mean that if you just stop there for the rest of the principle, that is a punchline. Mm-hmm. Thoughts will eventually come into actions, and we will become what our thought patterns are. We will not immediately, but it leads us that way. We will eventually become that way.
Knowing this, should we be surprised about the violence in our children or the lack of morals in our country? Guess what? We've created it by our media and our programming. The outcome of a child or a society is the product of an environment we have created by our philosophies. We must remember this pattern. Knowledge creates thoughts. Then thoughts produce an action. The action will form a habit, and habits will form our destiny.
That's right. You know, I mean, it's like you could go through a long, long story about this, but I've watched movies already, and the movies are all designed that the good always wins over the bad in the end results. That's good, because that's positive. But the key is this. Sometimes they show the acts of the evildoer in the movie, and you'll say, well, I wouldn't have done that. And so people sit there and say, like, I'm watching that. So if he wouldn't have done that, he would have never got caught. And so their mind is active. And so first thing you know, they're tempted to see what they can get away with. So sometimes what we do to try to do good, sometimes programs. For an example, they said that the trade centers were bombed, and they said that was discussed at the time when they built the trade center. Said somebody could run into a plane, and they were built so that they could be hold up against a 707 rather than a 757. So the thought was there even when they built it. And so if that's why they used the plane that was bigger. So sometimes thoughts turn into actions and they
sure.
become violent, yeah.
If we want a positive future, we must control our thought pattern. The question is this, how can we control our thoughts? First, we must want to do it. And if so, we can renew our minds or thoughts by controlling the input.
That's true. First, we must want to. And the only way that I see that a person really will want to control his thoughts, if he sees the destiny, uh-huh. if he has the vision of what he wants to become or what he does not want to become, then he'll take the initiative to control and saying, like, if I keep on going this way, this is what's going to happen to me. And that needs to be inbred in our children. You know, we need to decide that with our children. And so we need to put right programming there. And even then, they still have to make a choice. But you can protect a person from a lot of bad things if you do it right.
We should select good things to read. We should watch good TV programs and carefully choose our associates. We must consider the outcome of everything we put into our minds. What fruit will it bear? We must remember that our minds are like computers that can be programmed to our choice, and it will bear fruit accordingly.
That's right. It'll bear fruit. So what we have to do is everything that we follow, we have to say, what's the end results? What fruit will it bear? What will I reap from this here, good or bad? And then that's the way we'll learn to make choices in our life as to what we'll do. Watch certain programs, mm-hmm. read certain materials, watch associates. You know, those are important things in that decision.
Our thoughts will be conformed to the values we choose to follow. We are not destined to live out a certain or specific lifestyle. It is a matter of choice. Choices govern everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. And all the mind is a processor, and it's a gift of God. All the mind is, it gives you options. It analyzes a situation, it looks into it, and it gives you options, and then the real you have to choose. So the mind is a good thing because it does create new things, new ideas, but you have to choose by what values you're going to function.
God has given us free will. Our destiny is within our control. If we do not like where we are or where we're going, we can change it by taking charge of our thoughts. This is the law of attraction. We attract what we give attention to.
That is really true. Man, that just says it all. It's like So we have a choice. We have choices to make every day as to how we are controlling things, and our destiny is within our hands. Not we can't blame people, but we can blame the only place that you can blame people is if teachers are teaching kids wrong and steering them wrong, even if they do it unaware. They are still responsible for what they teach those children. Parents are responsible. Our school systems are responsible. Our government is responsible for what they allow and what they don't. And but we still, in the bottom line, we are still responsible for ourselves. When we grow up, we need to analyze ourselves every so often and say, like, where am I going? Who taught me it? And why did they teach me this? And, you know, and reanalyze it and take charge of your own mind.
The principle of proper thinking, for as he thinketh, so is he in his heart. Proverbs 23, verse 7. So powerful, huh, John?
Oh, it is, and it's being studied more and more around the world because people are discovering certain things, and there are people that have understood it for a long time, but it's so critical because our worldview and our mind functions together, and so what we think about in our worldview is what we're going to produce. But proper thinking, we have to always remember this, that we will become what we think. That is absolutely powerful, and that's a law. That's not something that I said, but that's a law of God. It's a law of the Spirit. But we need to be aware of our thoughts, and we should feed our mind with the right stuff and learn to do right, learn to think right, learn to think about what's fair, and control that. If we control that long enough, it becomes our character, and then it becomes our second nature. And finally, we will do right, and our minds work together with right, and we automatically function the way we're designed to function. That's possible to be a second nature to you.